Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Do you wish you knew the saints better? Overwhelmed with all the events in Catholic history and just wish you could tie it all together? It's tough work, and even scientists have determined that it takes approximately 400 repetitions to create a new synapse in the brain. Unless it is done with play, in which case it takes between 10 and 20 repetitions. Introducing Saint Cards, where the facts about saints and history are presented in fun and engaging games for ages 4 to 104. Check out Saint Cards at saintcards.com and begin the fun for your family, school, and parish today.
Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
Perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder, and it is a pleasure to have you journeying along with us this Lent. Thank you so much for finding Young Catholics Respond wherever you have found us, whether that is on Light of Life Radio Network out in West Virginia, or you're listening to us on Huntley Community Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Of course, you can always find us on Breadbox Media and any podcast by searching Young Catholics Respond. But on today's program, I am blessed to be joined by Gary Zemak. He is the author of several books, including A Warrior's Guide to the Bible, From Fear to Faith, Stop Worrying and Start Living, and Give Up Worry for Lent, which is his latest. He is a frequent speaker at parishes and conferences across the country and is recognized as the leading Catholic speaker on the topic of overcoming anxiety. In addition, Gary is the director of parish services for Mary, Mother of the Redeemer Church in North Wales, Pennsylvania, a regular guest on EWTN TVN Radio, and was the creator and host of Spirit in the Morning, which aired on Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia from 2016 to 2018. His work has appeared in the National Catholic Register, Catholic Digest, and Catholic Exchange. Gary resides in South Jersey with his wife Eileen and daughters Mary and Elizabeth. They are members of St. Joan of Arc Parish in Marlton, New Jersey. Gary, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for joining me here on Young Catholics Respond.
Bill, it's a great pleasure to be here. I'm grateful for the invitation.
So, Gary, tell me a little bit about your journey as a Catholic. I know you are the premier speaker out there for anxiety and overcoming anxiety as a Catholic. So was that present in your life?
It was, Bill. I would say going back to maybe when I was 6 or 7 years old, I was always very anxious. In terms of my Catholicism, I was incredibly lukewarm for most of my life. And, you know, I never made the connection that maybe Jesus could help me with my anxiety. Never made that connection, even though I went to Mass every week and went to Catholic school for 12 years. It took many years, Bill, for that to finally form in my mind and realize that the Lord can help me. And interestingly enough, I spent 30 years in the software industry and had a conversion toward the end of my career working in software, wanted to somehow work for the Lord, and ended up, I mean, this is so bizarre to even mention this, I ended up as a full-time Catholic evangelist, and I did that for close to 6 years prior to going to work, as you said, at Mary Mother of the Redeemer Parish. But I still write, I still speak, and I still get out there and primarily try to talk to my anxious brothers and sisters and let them know that the Lord really can help them to overcome worrying.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's a big issue with young people out there in the world today, right, is anxiety. There's so many different drugs and so many different things that, you know, help people maybe, you know, mask this, the condition of anxiety. What are some of those things young people find that make their lives anxious? And what were some of the things that were making your life anxious maybe as you were growing up? And what are some of those things that you see in people that are anxious?
Interesting, Bill. So many people are affected by any number of different issues. For me, it was always my health. I was what is known as a hypochondriac. I worried about my health, having many different diseases. As I got older, the diseases changed. I remember when I was in my early 20s, I was convinced that I had a heart condition because I would feel palpitations every now and then in my chest. And that's what really gripped me, in addition to worrying about, am I going to flunk out of college? Am I going to get a job? So many different things that, and again, they would shift from one day to the next. I think health is a common one. I think many young people are worried about their careers. Some of them are worried about the state of the world, which is justifiable to be concerned about the state of the world. But, no matter what we worry about, The central theme of anybody who worries, and this is a tough message, Bill. This is something that it's difficult to deliver, but the reason we worry, in a nutshell, is we don't trust God. And that's still something that I struggle with. The Lord's helped me quite a bit, but I still have that tendency if I'm not careful.
Yeah, so that's interesting you bring that up about struggle with trusting God. You know, that's a really big topic. I know some young adults out there, even myself, that have dealt with, okay, here is this problem I have, and it's not necessarily a good thing in my life. How can God be good? How can I trust God if, you know, these bad circumstances have happened in my life? And, you know, there's a lot of friends that I have, how do I overcome that when there's evil?
Yeah, that's the age-old question that people of all ages wrestle with. And I think, Bill, what it comes right down to is the relationship. I don't think this happens overnight. This trust doesn't, at least in my life, it didn't happen overnight. But it happened over a period of time. And it started with me turning to the Lord, praying, and feeling a sense of peace in the midst of what I thought was a serious health problem. Turned out not to be, but at the time I was really thinking, well, this is it, I'm dying, what do I do? I realized at that point, it's funny, you know, you deny the fact that you might be a lousy Catholic for many years, which is what I was doing, but once you're faced with the prospect of possibly meeting the Lord for judgment, all of a sudden you realize, all right, you know what? Okay, Lord, it's time to come clean. I'm a lousy Catholic. What can I do? But I got to know him. I started to pray. I started to go to Mass daily. I started to read the Bible, which is something I had never done. And Bill, as you walk with him each day through those any of those things, you start to know him. And especially as you look back throughout salvation history, you realize by reading the Bible that the Lord has been there for his people time and time again. And as you get to know him better, and the sacraments are really good for this, as you get to know him better, the trust starts to build. And day by day, you begin to trust him a little bit more, to the point, and I had this discussion with somebody at the parish the other day, where now I find myself trusting him in some pretty hopeless type situations that don't really seem resolvable, but somehow, and again, this comes from deep inside of me, I believe that he's going to work these things out. I don't know how, I don't see how it's possible, but I do trust him. But it certainly is a process.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people in the world today want that instant fix. Like, you know, they want to just go, okay, well, I'm going to stop worrying. Well, that doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they try to will themselves to stop worrying about something. And it just, you know, isn't effective. So what are some of the tools that you help us learn in overcoming worry and overcoming the struggle with it? What are some of those practical things that we can do to overcome it?
The first thing, and you really nailed it with what you said. You can't just not worry. If you're somebody who's anxious and somebody tells you you worry too much, you shouldn't worry. Well, that's just about impossible to do. And the same thing goes for trusting God. You can't make yourself trust God. Now, you can walk with him each day. You can start your day in prayer. It doesn't have to be simple, difficult. It could be very simple. Good morning, Lord. Please help me to avoid sin today. Please help me trust you today. And then expect the Lord to answer. See, a lot of times I think we don't really expect our prayers to be answered. We think, well, I have to say all these things and the prayers have to be long so that I can convince myself to trust the Lord. But no, as soon as you ask him for help, he's responding, and you can thank him for that. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. And then to constantly make sure that each day you read some scripture. I think the daily mass readings are perfect for that. And as you do that, Bill, you start to see or the Lord speaks to you through the Bible, and you begin to see that he always comes through. He cares about us. And again, daily mass is great for that, as is confession, because the sacraments, frequenting the sacraments, draws you closer to the Lord, and the relationship grows, and you begin to trust him more. And again, you do this every day, not necessarily setting out to trust him or to worry less, but just to have that relationship with him. And I found it just tends to happen.
Yeah, you know, I think you're so right. You know, just starting and doing something, praying just a little bit, even if it's that one little word. But you brought up scripture, and you know, one of the things that I think is also hard for some people is to realize that scripture is a living book, and it's constantly revealing itself. And when it comes to that, Gary, How do you overcome like the problem of scripture when the world is out there saying it's this outdated book, it's a bunch of fables, it's a bunch of myths? You know, are there any tools that you can maybe give somebody that's got a friend who's out there going, scripture's like that? And then what are the things that you can say, no, let me point you in the right direction here. Let me help you understand scripture, because it's such a big daunting book. I mean, you know, you can have a billion degrees and still not understand it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is a challenge. That is a challenge. What I would say and what I do personally is before I read scripture, I ask the Holy Spirit to help me to open my mind, because the Holy Spirit inspired scripture. And so many times this has happened to me. And in fact, just last week, I lead several different Bible studies at the parish that I work at, and we were reading, and honestly, I don't even remember the story we were reading from the Bible. It's one of the stories in the Gospel, and there was a line that just jumped out at me that I never heard before, and that's part of that dynamic nature of Scripture. You can read a particular passage over and over and over, dozens, hundreds of times even, and something will jump out at you. Oh, I remember what it was, actually. It's one that I speak about when I go out and give parish missions or talks. It's the storm at sea. And I've read that story so many times, and it's one that I always use. Jesus is with the disciples. The storm is sweeping, swamping the boat. And eventually they turn to the Lord, ask for his help. He saves the day. But, you know, he was sleeping at the time. They woke him up. But there was one particular aspect of that, the fact that typically we hear that story and we expect it to happen instantaneously. There's a storm. They wake Jesus up. Jesus fixes everything. But as I was reading it, the thought came to me that this didn't necessarily happen that quickly. This process could take a long time. And as I told the people when I was speaking about it a few weeks ago, sometimes it's hard to wake Jesus up, so you have to keep after him to wake him up. He's a heavy sleeper. But I never thought about that before. And that helps somebody who is struggling with a particular problem in their life, and they're praying and praying and praying, and nothing is happening, and they think they might be doing something wrong. But no, if you read that story, nothing says that it happens that quickly. It could take time. So that little minor detail, I know it made me feel good when I heard that. And I'm sure it hurt other, made other people feel good when I shared that, but yeah. I never thought about that before.
No, that's,
and that's what happened, right? When you ask the Holy Spirit, things like that can pop out.
Exactly, and that's a great point. I've never even thought about that at all. So that's a great point. Stay at it. Stay at it. You know, Jesus, and wake him up.
Wake him up. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he will wake up eventually, but sometimes, Bill, he's silent because he wants us to trust him. You know, if he responds too quickly, then we're going to be on to the next problem.
That's right.
So that's the way we work sometimes.
Hey, Gary, this is an awesome conversation. Thank you for being here on Young Catholics Respond and waking us up today and helping us live our faith more fully. We have to take that short break right at this moment. But when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with you all about your latest book and all the different parish missions that you're offering to parishes across the United States. So right back after this on Young Catholics Respond, I'm Bill Snyder.
How has the Men of Christ Conference impacted men and families?
I am 28 years old. I live in Waukesha. I've been married for 3 years. I have a 2-year-old daughter and another one on the way. The biggest thing I hear from a lot of men in their 40s and 50s is, oh man, I wish I could have been doing this 20 years ago. And the Men of Christ, that day is just such a great refreshing, a recharge. It just gives you that spiritual kick in the butt. When you're in college, it's a very formative time. You have a lot of different sources of information, of guidance. Some are good, some are bad. One that will always be good is Christ. When you surround yourself with guys that are focused on Christ, you will gain that focus too. We got to stand up and we got to fight for this and stand proud and show everyone what it means to be a Catholic man in today's world.
Join 3,000 men on Saturday, March 30 in Milwaukee for the Men of Christ Conference. Learn more and register at menofchrist.net. That's menofchrist.net.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of 4 children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered, How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com. On Amazon.com or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
Patchwork Heart Ministry is committed to sowing hope into broken hearts by helping young people encounter the love of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church through prayer, storytelling, and media initiatives. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission financially. Mail your tax-deductible donation to Patchwork Heart Ministry at P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, zip code 53147. Or visit patchworkheart.org to donate online. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry, P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, 53147, or online at patchworkheart.org.
Hi, everybody. Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
St. Therese of Lisieux's Little Way of the Cross, written by Victoria Clarizo and designed by Just Love Prince, is a beautiful prayer booklet that helps you pray the Stations of the Cross. Use these reflections to meditate on the great love and mercy that Jesus had for us as he journeyed to Calvary. The Little Way of the Cross includes gems from Scripture, the writings of St. Therese, and the words of Jesus from the imagination and prayer of the author. Go to justloveprince.com to get your copy today.
Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection. Telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection. That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.
This is Martha Fernandez-Sardina with your Love Minute, brought to you by RememberYouAreLoved.com. What's the big deal about love? The big deal about love is that we all need love, and we are more fulfilled than ever when we give love. So we must both get love and give love. We must get love from God first and foremost, because He teaches us how to love, because God is love. And then we must give love the way that God gives love. Now, this is very possible because we were created with the capacity to receive love and give love. It's also expected. That's why we have the commandment to love God with our whole being and our neighbor as ourself. It's logical. If we have the ability to love, why don't we exercise it? If we have the ability to receive love, why don't we open our hearts to receive it? So let's get love and give love. For more on love, find us at facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back here on Young Catholics Respond. I am Bill Snyder. It is a pleasure to have you joining us. And I just want to remind our listeners out there that we can always use your support here at Patchwork Heart Ministry. We have a Patreon account. Check us out there. You get to know who is coming up on our program the day before it airs, so you'll be able to prep yourself and get ready for their message and look up their mission as well. So check us out. Subscribe to us on Patreon. Also, check out our website, patchworkheart.org, for the latest updates and other great things coming up in our ministry. And I just want to continue our conversation right now, though, with Gary Zemak. He is Catholic author, evangelist, and really just sharing with us about anxiety and worry. And it's really a perfect time to talk about this during Lent. In fact, Gary, you came out with a book called Giving Up Worry for Lent. And I'll tell you, I worry about what I'm giving up for Lent. So tell us a little bit about the book.
Bill, I am so excited about this book. It really is a day-by-day approach to giving up worry for Lent. And what I wanted to do was basically guide the reader through each day with a simple Bible verse, a reflection, very short, a call to action, some sort of response to the Bible verse, and then a prayer. And every day, my hope is that I want to take my fellow worriers one day at a time to move them away from worrying about their problems and focus more on turning to the Lord, getting to know Him, reading a little scripture. And again, it's done in a very simple way. And my hope is that by the time Easter rolls around, the habit will start to form. And this is what I found in my life. This is the way it works for me. Even though I might start to be anxious about a problem, I know the steps I need to take. I need to crack open my Bible. I need to get on my knees. I need to pay a visit to the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. I need to go to Mass. So, you know, these steps, these concrete steps that I need to take instead of worrying about my problem. It doesn't necessarily make the fear go away immediately, but what happens is you get peace of mind, you get to know the Lord better. And I found in the years that I've been really working on this that I am afraid less than I used to be. So, and that's the point of the book. And what's amazing about this, this is my seventh book. This, I've never had one do this well so quickly. It's from the Give Up Worry for Lent, is from Ave Maria Press. And Bill, the book is completely sold out. The first printing has sold out completely. Right now, they're scrambling to try to reprint some for to get it done as quickly as possible. But it just goes to show you that there is a need for this. And I think this is a novel idea. And this book is just in the right place at the right time, and people are responding in a big way.
Now, that's beautiful that it's doing so well. And I'm sure they can get it on their Kindles and iPads as well.
Yes.
They can't find it in bookstores, right?
Exactly.
So yeah, check it out. And, you know, really that day approach, you know, breaking it down, I always say the shorter and sweeter it is for society today, it's so perfect, right? You know, to be able to pick it up and have it done for that day and then move on. But have the Lord at the beginning or at the end of your day really help you through worry. And, you know, one of the things you mentioned was being afraid, you know, and scared. Does that go along with worry for a lot of people? You know, like fear and worry go hand in hand?
You know, they do. But and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I always like to make this distinction when I give my talks or parish missions. It's one of the first things I addressed. Fear is an emotion. We can't control our emotions. And the catechism teaches that emotions are not right or they're not wrong. They're morally neutral. So it is okay to be afraid. And in fact, St. Francis de Sales said, we must not fear fear. Because if we look in the Bible, many very holy people were documented as being afraid, including Abraham, Moses, even the Blessed Mother. When the angel Gabriel first appeared to the Blessed Mother, she was greatly troubled or greatly afraid, depending on your translation, at his words. So that doesn't mean Mary was sinning. It doesn't mean she was worrying. It means she was afraid. St. Joseph was afraid because the angel said to Joseph in a dream, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. St. Paul documented as being afraid. So that fear, that emotion is something that we can't control. But Bill, what results from that fear is what really matters. Worry is when we let that fear lead us to just fretting about the problem, to giving way to anxiety, saying, oh no, what if this happens or what if that happens? What am I going to do if I lose my job or I never recover from this illness or my house burns down or so many other what ifs? When we do that, when we let our minds do that, it's a conscious thing that we're doing. It might not feel like it, but it really is. When we do that, we are running away from the Lord and retreating into ourselves. On the other hand, if that fear leads to concern, concern's a good thing. Concern is saying, all right, I'm worried that my house is going to burn down. Let me change the batteries in my smoke alarm. I mean, so that's a good response, right, to fear. Or if I pray, if I'm afraid that I'm going to fail my test, I can study for the test, and then I can also pray about it. And that's not worry. So there's a huge difference there. Sometimes fear and worry are used interchangeably, but they're not the same thing at all.
No, that's excellent insight. And I think for people out there listening, you know, especially the young adults I encounter, in fact, today in my Uber, I'm an Uber driver in addition to doing my ministry. And it's incredible. I had a couple getting ready to get married, and they were going off to spend some time with their family out in Las Vegas. And this lovely couple, one was going through RCIA to become Catholic so they could get married, you know, and both of them could get married in the church and in January. And it was just amazing to me that, you know, that there was this, you know, a little bit of trepidation, a little bit of fear, a little bit of like, I got to get out of the boat. But it wasn't like, this is going to paralyze me. No, this is going to make me understand and drive me to do better and, you know, and become more holy. Right. And right. So that was, right. You know, it just kind of struck me as you were talking about it, you know, moving, if it moves you toward holiness, if this moves you toward holiness, it's a good thing.
Sure.
You know, but it's when it paralyzes you and, you know, doesn't do anything but make you fret and drum up all that anxiety. That's an awesome distinction. In the last few minutes, Gary, I just want to ask you a little bit about how people can bring you out to their parishes, because, you know, you've done an amazing job in a half hour. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, two or three night parish mission or whatever you're able to do for them would be awesome, too. So just talk a little bit about what, you know, what your style is and how you do different work with different parishes across the country.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Bill. Yeah, it's a big deal. And the interesting thing that I see with my parish missions, or I do retreats or one night talks, the interesting thing is when I come and I speak at the masses, generally they'll let me speak at the masses a little bit after communion. And I'll tell people, here's what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about how the Lord can help you stop worrying. And this is not your typical talking. Even if you don't go to church things, I'm not going to waste your time. I want you to come to this. I generally get really good crowds. And oftentimes people have told me, I don't normally go to parish missions or things at church, but this is something that I really need because, Bill, people are struggling. So it's a way to bring Jesus to those who might not ordinarily go to a talk on Jesus. And by far, this is my most popular parish mission. I do From Fear to Faith, Stop Worrying and Start Living. And the best way to find out or to book me is to visit my website, which is followingthetruth.com. And right now, I'm booking parish missions, retreats, or talks specifically called Give Up Worry for Lent for Lent 2020 and beyond. So there's been a great response to this.
No, that's amazing and awesome. So definitely reach out to Gary and book him again. The website is followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com. So, Gary, I really, really appreciate all the time you spent with us tonight here on the radio and just talking with me and the listeners here of Young Catholics Respond about how to really give up worry for Lent and just really appreciate your time.
Bill, thanks for what you do. I'm so grateful to be here. I'd love to come back on again if you'll have me.
Oh, absolutely. You've got an open invitation anytime.
Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
Yes, absolutely. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For everybody at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org. Or to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.